We're going to learn Daf Lamed Vov in Masechtas Ketubos. However, we're going to start 6 lines from the bottom of Lamed Hey Amud Beis. It's at the 2 dots. It's a whole new thing. So the Gemara starts as follows. Tana Rabbanan. We learned as follows. The Rabbanan taught us Arayus v'shnius la'arayus en lehem loy knas v'loy pitui. Now we're going to have to translate what exactly is included in Arayas and what is included in Shnius Arayas. In general, the concept is Arayas is those things, that those relationships that the Torah prohibited. And Shnius Arayas is generally translated, we'll see the Gemara is going to translate, but it's generally translated as those things that the Rabbanon prohibited. But we'll see whether that fits in this case over here. And then Loi Knas V'Loi Pitu means that if there was either an oinus on the girl, or a pitu means that she agreed, there you don't have to, the guy does not have to pay the knas, and we'll see why. Hamamenes, a girl who is able to say no to her husband, that's talking about where her father died, so therefore her mother or her brother has married her off, and then she decides not to stay with the husband that she married off, so she has the right to do that. Ein la loy knas v'loy pitui, also in that case, after the marriage is over, there is no chiv if you live with her to pay knas or pitoy. Again, the Gemara will explain each one of these cases. Islandess. Islandess is generally translated as a woman who's not capable of bearing children. Ein lo loy knas v'loy pitoy. Once again, she will not have knas, you won't have to pay knas and a pitoy for a different reason. We'll see. So again, in the Havamina of the Gemara thinks that this means that a woman who, immediately after her marriage, her husband claims that she was not a Besula. I'll keep it vague for a moment, because again, the Gemara will translate what this means, and therefore, she doesn't have Besulim, Ein lo loy knas v'loy pitui. So once again, if somebody lives with her, in that case, he doesn't have to pay a knas or pitui. Now we'll see whether this is talking about the husband who lived with her just for that day, or we're talking about somebody else. But for now, we'll keep it rather vague. The Gemara is going to go through each case one at a time. So here we go. That's the memra. That's the braiso. So now the Gemara is going to explain each case. My arayas, my shnius la'arayas. What are we talking about? What cases specifically are we talking about when we talk about arayas, which are also in shnius, the secondary ones? Ilei ma'arayas, arayas mamash. Now I'm on the top of lamed vov and aleph. If we're talking about literally the arayas mamash, meaning the ones that are listed in achrei mois, for example, all the ones that are aser, and therefore shnius midivrei seifrim. So shnius would mean those things that this is how we typically translate shnius. So that's why that's the first havamina of the Gemara. Shnius are those things that the Rabbanon decided to make as a geder, that you should not live with these people. It's usur to live with these people, like, for example, a grandmother. Grandmother is not usur min ha-Torah. Your mother's mother is not usur min ha-Torah. But the Rabbanon felt it was inappropriate to live with a grandmother. Okay? So, because somebody could eventually potentially make a mistake and think, oh, grandmother is mutter, so mother is mutter. Something like that. It's a gezeira de rabbanon. But if that's what our braisa is referring to, I don't understand. Kivin de midaraisa chaziole, amai ein lo knas. If if midaraisa, she is really somebody who could be really permissible midarai. So she could be a naira. Now, obviously, grandmother is not a good example, because grandmother can't possibly be the case, because she'd have to be way too old, because it only applies to a naira, and also she has to be a basula. So all those things obviously make the grandmother example a very bad example for this purpose. But it does explain what a shnia is. So other shnias which might apply. So they're also midaraisa. Amai ein lahem knas. Why wouldn't you pay the knas? I understand that you can't stay married to them. You know, the rabbanon don't want you to be married to them. But why would the rabbanon allow you not to pay the knas? Elo, so the Gemara says, you're right, that's not what it means, even though that's what it normally means. In this context, that's not what we're referring to. Elo arayas chayve misas bezdin. Arayas is referring to those cases that are specifically punishable. If you live together, then the bezdin will punish you. For example, bitoy, as we'll see in the next Mishnah, that it's punishable by skilo. Shnios is chayve krisos, and shnios would be one level above that. So then, those are the cases, and that's what shnius means. Shnius means the secondary, means one level above. But that would mean that if the Isser is only a Chayve Lav, for example, a Nesino, or a Mamzeres, let's say those are examples that we're familiar with, where there's only a Chiyav Lav, so then they would, that's what the Bryce is not excluding those cases, and there would be Knas. And then this Bryce would be following Shimon HaTemani Shita. Now, if you recall, we had a Machlekes between Shimon HaTemani and Rav Shimon Manasseh about what is excluded from the, what is excluded from the din of Knas. Is it, do we look at somebody who the initial relationship is usur, or do we look at somebody that whether they're able to stay married ultimately, which would include even Chayve Lavin, because Chayve Lavin could get married. They're not allowed to stay married, but they could get married. So if over here we say the Chayve Lavin or Chayve Knas, we don't care about the fact that they can't stay married, we just care about whether or not the marriage was Chal. So the marriage would be Chal. And obviously, right, so here, therefore, since the marriage would be Chal and Chayve Lavin, so that's why there would be Knas. Now obviously we have to disagree with the drasha of Naira Naira Ha Naira. So because Naira Naira Ha Naira, if you recall from earlier, from like three blot ago, that was the drasha to say that even Chayve Lavim are included in the din of Chayve, in the din of Knas. Okay, in any event, so that would be one way to drasha, one way to interpret this mission. Again, the simple translation would be Arayas means Chayve Mises Bezdin, and Shnius would be Chayve Krisus, which means we're not discussing Chayve Lavim in this brisa, and therefore Chayve Lavim would in fact have to pay the Knas. Ikadamri, but there's another version that says Arayas, the word Arayas includes Chayve Mises Bezdin v'Chayve Krisus. It means anything that there's a Misa involved at all. Shniyos Chayve Lavin, and the Shniyos is secondary, that we understand is only a Chayve Lavin, there's no Misa involved. Money, Reb Shimon ben Manasseh, and that would follow the explanation of Reb Shimon ben Manasseh that says that we're discussing those cases that they can't stay married. Okay, Havaya means you have to be able to stay married. Not that you can just make the Chalois marriage, but that you have to be able to stay married. And therefore that would be the explanation. But either way, however you learn, it's not referring to Chayve Shnius, the typical Shnius, which is only in Issa D'Rabbanan, because in fact, in those cases, there would be potentially a Chiyav Knas. Okay, that's the first case of the Braisa. The next case of the Braisa is Hamamenes. Hamamenes ein lo loy knas veloy pitui, saying that a girl who's able to do miyun, as we explained, miyun is that only her mother or brother married off, so it's not a marriage midaraisa, so she has a right to decide, I don't want to be involved in this marriage. So after that marriage is over, she doesn't get knas and pitui. So the Gemara is saying, ha katana ba'almo isla. So he's saying everybody else. Now, in order to do miyun, the simple understanding is you have to be under the age of 12, because by the time you're 12 years old, it's too late. By that time, you're already considered married. And you can't refuse the marriage anymore. So that means that we're contrasting Mamenes versus a regular katana. So that means a regular katana is law that she does have knas. So money rabbanon hi. So it must be that this price is following the shittas rabbanon da amri katana yesh lo knas, that they hold that even a katana has a knas. If you recall, this is a machlekes between Reb Meir and the rabbanon. According to Reb Meir, katana does not have knas. It's only literally a naira, as the Torah uses the word naira, and the rabbanon expanded the word naira to mean up to the end of Naira, which would include a katana also. So that means that this price is going to, according to the Rabbanan. Fine. However, the problem is Eimo Seifa. But the next case in the Mishnah is, on this price is Islandus Ein Lo Knas Loi Knas Veloi Pitui. So the next case is Islandus. Now, what is an Islandus? An Islandus is a girl who can't have children. That's true. But the point is that the reason why she can't have children is because she doesn't have simonim. She doesn't have the regular simanim that identifies a woman. So, therefore, halachically, what happens is she's a katana until 20, and then at the age of 20, she has the din of a bigeris, of an older girl. So she remains a katana her whole life. And over there it says, our Bryce over here says that she doesn't have knas. So, also the Reb Meir. Then that would follow Reb Meir Shita, the Omer Katana Ein Lo Knas. And the reason why, the simple explanation is that being an islandist means, by definition, she's a katana. And as a katana, she doesn't have knas, which is fine. But that's only according to Reb Meir Shita, because Reb Meir is the one who says that a katana doesn't have knas. Why? Because she never is a naira. She goes directly from being a young girl, a katana, into being a bagar when she becomes 20 years old. So the problem is, Reisha Rabbona v'Sefer Rab Meir. So it comes out that the Mishnah, the Braisa, is not consistent. One part of the Braisa is, according to the first part is the Rabbana, and the second part is Reb Meir, who argue on each other. And that doesn't make any sense. We don't usually have within a Braisa one line to the next, a different sheet to that argues.
We don't like doing that.
We don't like doing that. Exactly. So maybe, okay, fine, I have a way of explaining that it's all Reb Meir. And remember, Reb Meir's sheet is that Katana doesn't count. Oh. And the way we'll get around this problem is saying that if we want to be talking about a Naira, we'll hold like Reb Yehuda, who holds that a girl is able to do miyun until she becomes a bageris, which means during the period of nairus, she could still do miyun, which means that we could be discussing Reb Meir's case. It's not a katana anymore. She could be a naira. And miyun is still on the table. So the Gemara says, umisavala, but the problem is, that would be very nice if Reb Meir actually held like Reb Yehuda. The problem is, vahatanya, this is a very simple cheshbon. Admosay abas mamenes. So we have a braisa that discusses, how old are you allowed to be to do miyun? So admosay abas mamenes, how old can you be to do miyun? So Reb Meir says, until you bring Shtei Cyrus, which is generally understood as the age of 12 before Nairus. That's when you become a Gedoyla, Shtei Cyrus. However, right here is the Machloikas, Reb Yehuda Omer, Achiyab, Shachar Al Halovon. So it's Machloikas actually in the Girsa, so whether we say Al Halovon or not, but both Rashi and Tosfos for this purpose say, I'll say this. So it means until there's identifiable black hairs, let's say, let's define it like that. So therefore that is an older age. That's not just at the literal age of 12 years old. That's closer to the age of 12 and a half. So we see that Reb Yehuda, it's true that according to Reb Yehuda, she could be a Naira and still do Miyun, provided she hasn't had any relations with the husband. But according to Reb Yehuda, you could. So that would be very nice. The problem is that Reb Meir specifically and explicitly does not agree with Reb Yehuda. So it doesn't make sense to make the Mishnah Reb Meir Shita according to Reb Yehuda, if Reb Meir specifically does not hold of Reb Yehuda. So that explanation doesn't work. So we're still left with the problem. If it can't be Reb Meir, the whole Braisa, so that means part of the Braisa is the Rabbana, part of the Braisa is going according to Reb Yehuda. Excuse me, I said that wrong. Part of the Braisa is the Rabbana, part of the Braisa is Reb Meir. Okay, so we still don't have a consistent Shita in the Braisa. So the Gemara says, okay, instead of picking Reb Meir as the whole Shita, Ela Reb Yehuda, let's make the whole Braisa follow according to Reb Yehuda Shita. When it comes to being a katana, he'll hold like the Reb Meir, which is good. That meaning a katana is not included in the parsha of Oinus Umafata. Okay, the problem is the other way around. We prove that Reb Meir clearly doesn't hold of Reb Yehuda. The question is, does Reb Yehuda hold of Reb Meir about whether a katana is included? But the problem is, does he really hold of Reb Meir? Shita of Amar Reb Yehuda Amar Rav. Zu divrei Reb Meir. When we explained the Mishnah, Reb Yehuda's explanation was, this is gone according to Reb Meir. Meaning, that's an expression of saying, like, that's what he holds. That's not what I hold. That's a different Shita. That's what he holds. So once again, it's not a clear machlekes as the other way was very clear, but it seems to indicate that Reb Yehuda doesn't agree with him. It doesn't consider that the Shita. Because it's just like, for illustration points, remember when we had Reish Lakish's Shita, when he wanted to explain why we have Malkus and Mishalim, he said, the Mishnah is Reb Meir. So he quoted Reb Meir. He said, Reb Yehuda over here saying, Zudivrei Reb Meir. This is according to Reb Meir, but there are other Shitas out there. Vim Isa, as the Gemara itself says, Vim Isa, Zudivrei Reb Meir, Reb Yehuda mi ba'yulei. What he should have been saying is, this is according to Reb Yehuda and Reb Meir. The two of them agree that a katana doesn't have knas. By the fact that the way we explain the Mishnah is not like that, it shows that it's Reb Meir. It's only Shitas Reb Meir. It's not Shitas Reb Yehuda. So we have a problem. So right now, we don't have a single Tana that can explain the entire Braisa. At best, we have the Rabbanon is the Reisha, and the Seifa is Rav Meir. That's the best we can do so far. So the Gemara answers like this. You're right, it's an independent Shita. However, Haitana Savala Kareb Meir Bechoda, Opalagale Bechoda. So Elchanami, we'll have to say that he holds like Rav Meir in one case, that the Ketana doesn't have a Knas, and he argues on Rav Meir, and he holds like Rav Yehuda, that says that she can be Mamayin up to being a Naira, so therefore the case of Mamenes could include a Naira. Elchanami, so the answer is, it's another Tana. It's not one of the Shitas themselves, because each one of the Shitas can't hold of the other Shita, but it could be a different Tana who holds a little bit like Rav Meir, but a little bit like Rav Yehuda, and then that way we can explain the whole Braisa as one Shita. It's another Shita. That's one teretz of the Gemara. Rafram Amar, Rafram gives a different teretz. My Mamenes, Anachanami. When we say Mamenes, Haru'uya Lemayin. Anachanami, it doesn't mean literally a Mamenes, the girl who did Miyun. It means a Mamenes means somebody who's Roy to be Mamayin. And therefore, Elchanami, the whole Mishnah is going according to Rav Meir, and both Mamenes and Eilenes have the same problem, and the reason why neither of them are included in the Parsha of Oinus and Mefata is because they're both Ketanin. Because they're both Ketanois. That's the reason. Mamenes is under 12 years old, and Eilenes is never a Naira. So Elchanami, that's why they don't have the din of Inoy Patoy. So the Gemara says, Velisni Ketanah. So fine, if that's what you mean to say, just say the word Ketanah. The Gemara says, Kasha. Okay, Kasha, which means you're right, you have a good point over here. It is a little bit difficult to understand why he didn't simplify. However, we can give a teretz if we want to, and we want to say the cases of Mamenes and Eilenes. To make the point. Okay. Alright, the Gemara now continues after the two dots. Eilenes, ein lo, loy knas, veloy pitui. Fine, we make a statement that an Eilenes, as we explained so far, is because she's a Ketana, and she goes directly from being Ketana to a Boigeres. She skips the stage of being a Naira, and the concept of Oinus Mefata, at least the way we're explaining so far, does not apply to a Ketana. There, I mean, but I'll ask you a contradiction. It says Beferish in the Braisa, Hachareshes Vahashoita, right? Either somebody who's deaf, which we understand is blind and deaf, or excuse me, not deaf, is deaf and dumb, Vahashoita, and somebody who doesn't have all their wits. Ba'ilanis, and it includes the case of Ilanis, Yeshlahen Knas, says very clearly that they do have Knas. Obviously, we're asking the contradiction on the case of Ilanis. The Yeshla Tainus Basulum. Okay, and the second point also is that if they get married, the husband's able, and then the husband says she didn't have Dom, the husband's claim is legit, because there's no reason why she shouldn't be a Basulo. Okay. So that's the Kasha. Kasha is, our Braisa says that an Eilenes doesn't have Knas, and this Braisa says he does have Knas. So the Gemara says, V'ham mai rum yehi. What is the Kasha over here? There's no real contradiction. Ha-Rav Meir, ha-Rabbanon. We know very clearly there's a machlokes between the Rav Meir and Rabbanon, whether a Ketana is chayev, whether there's a din of Knas by Ketana. So it's not a stiro, it's a machlokes. We know there's a machlokes. They're two different shitas. So the Gemara even asked, but the Kari and my Kari. So when you ask the question, what were you thinking? The Kari means, what were you thinking? What was the Hava Mina to ask this as a Kasha, knowing that there's another shita that we're familiar with? So the Gemara answers, Mishum de Isla Lameima Achrit Mirma Achriti Alayu. Because we have another Braisa which makes this Braisa a contradiction. So that's why we brought this. It's not really so much that we're contradicting our original Braisa, is that there's another Braisa itself that contradicts this concept. Because it says, Achareshis Vashoita Vahabageres, and it now includes a Bageres, which again is over the age of 12 and a half. Umukas Eitz, and a girl that lost her Basulim because she fell down. Ein Lehen Tainis Besulim. Fine. They don't have a tainus besulim. So really what we're asking a contradiction is not on the knas part of it, but rather we're asking the contradiction on the whether or not there's a tainus besulim. So asuma va'ailanis. So it says asuma, and then the Braisa continues and says suma Sorry, I lost the place. Yeah. Hasuma ba'ailanis, yesh lahen tainas basulim. But if a girl is blind or an islandist, they still have the din of basulim. When the husband gets married, he can say whether or not she had basulim. Sumchas Omer, this other brisa continues. Sumchas Omer, Mishum Rav Meir, Suma ein lo tainas basulim. A Suma does not have tainas basulim, and we'll explain on the Amud Beis why not. Omer Rav Sheshes, okay, so it's a very straight out contradiction whether or not they have tainas basulim by an islandist or not. Omer Rav Sheshes, like Kasha, Ho Rav Gamliel, Vaha, Rabbi Yeshua. Okay, so if you recall back to the first parak of Masechtas Ksubas, so we had a machlekes over there between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, where when a girl comes and gives an explanation why she's not a basula, whether we believe her or not. Rabbi Gamliel says we believe her, and Rabbi Yeshua Shita is Lemi Pia Anuchayin, we don't believe her. Okay, so that also is the explanation between these two brises. It's a machlekes between Rabbi Gamliel, again, we'll believe her, and therefore she has an excuse why she doesn't have psulim. And according to Rabbi Shua, we don't believe her, and therefore she has no excuse. Gemara says, "Aim at the Shamas Leila, Rabbi Gamliel. When did Rabbi Gamliel say we believe her, and therefore has an excuse for no psulim? Heichad katana ihi, where she comes up and has an explanation, as we explained. We believe her. She comes in and gives an explanation. We'll believe that explanation. Heichad loy katana ihi mishamas Leila. Where did we ever see that Rabbi Gamliel said we believe her, even in a case where she's not saying anything, she's not giving an explanation? So what's there to believe?" So the Gemara. So how could you explain the Braisa by saying that we believe her about the Tainus Besulim because there's a Shitas Rabbi Gamliel? So the Gemara says, yes, we do see that Rabbi Gamliel agrees in that situation as well. Even the Amar Rabbi Gamliel, Mehemna, since Rabbi Gamliel does say that in general we do believe a girl when she gives a good excuse, Kegainzu, so in this case, because remember, what are we talking about over here? We're talking about girls themselves that aren't with it. They're either a cheresh, which means she can't speak, or a shaita, right? Kegainzu, in this case, Pasach, Picha, La'olem, Hu. That this is a situation where we will open up and we will give the explanation on her behalf. So even though she's not saying anything, theoretically, if she was capable, she would be giving an explanation. So we'll give that explanation on her behalf. In any event, that becomes the answer. So the Braisa is talking about, the Braisa that we thought was a contradiction, whether or not this Tainus Pesulim, is simply answered with a machlekes between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua about whether or not we believe her. And if we believe her, we'll insert the explanation for her, even if she doesn't speak up. Okay, then, so now just an explanation to finish off the braisa. So that was talking about the shaita and the chareshes. That makes sense. What about Vabageris ain lo tainas pesulim? A girl, once she's over the age of 12 and a half, the husband can no longer complain if he sees that she doesn't have pesulim. Oh, but the Gemara says very straightforward. That Rav said, the halacha is that when a husband and wife get married, so as we know, of course, if she's a nida, they're not allowed to live together. But if she's a basula, the dam basulim does not make her tamei, and they're allowed to continue living together. So the question is, how do we know what it is? So Rav says that even if she's a bageres, even if she's over the age of 12, we do give her the whole first night, no matter, even if there's dam over there, it's not a problem. So we see, that means there's an expectation that she's going to have dam. So do we say that she has dam or she doesn't have dam? Right? The Braisa said she doesn't have dam, but Rav says we give her the whole first night, which means if there is dam, we expect that dam to be dam basulim, giving the impression that there is dam basulim. So the Gemara says no problem. So we're going to go with Rashi's girsa. Tosis actually flips the girsa around, but we're just going to go with Rashi. So Rashi's girsa is that. Rashi's girsa is, if she goes with Tainus Besulim and Achanami, the husband is believed. Hachanami. Then we do believe, and then the Bryce's explanation makes sense, and he has the right to say, where's the dam? Sorry, that's not the Bryce, that's Rav's halacha. If the issue was Besulim, Damim, so then he would be believed, because there should be dam. But the problem, the reason why our Bryson says he's not believed, again, this is the way Rashi learns. The Rashi learns is that he's saying, I found Pesach Pesuach, which means it's more of a feeling. It's not Dam. Dam is very simple to see. Either there is Dam or there isn't Dam. So if he says there was no Dam, that's his complaint. So according to Rav, clearly there should be Dam. Even though she's a knight, even though she's a Bagaris already, but there might be a little bit of Dam, he can say that could be his issue. If he thinks that's the expectation. But if he tainas Pesach Pesuach is a feeling. So by the time a girl is over the age of 12 and a half, even if she's a Basula, it's possible that she doesn't have the feeling of being a Basula, of a younger girl. A younger girl is tighter, and therefore there would be a certain feeling that a guy who knows what he's doing will know the difference. And therefore, that's when our Brisa says, and if he comes along and he says, Pesach Pesuach, it felt like there was an issue over here. So then, Anachanami, that's where we say we don't believe. Over 12 and a half, it doesn't apply. So that's the explanation. So Anachanami comes out of Maskana that there could be Dam, but there's not necessarily, according to this part of the Braisa, but it's not going to be Pesach Pesuach. As I said, Tosfos flips it around and says just the opposite. Okay? Okay? Okay, if you want to just see, if you look at the first line in Rashi, or it's actually the second line in Rashi, and from the top, Then Rashi very clearly says, if his issue is that there's no dam, that's a good complaint. But when he tainis Pesach Pesuach, that we don't believe. Because, again, she's over the age, at that point her body is a little bit different, so therefore there's no expectation that there's going to be the closed Pesach. Okay, continuing to explain the Braisa, Sumchas Oimer Mishum Rav Meir, Sumo Ein La Tainis Pesulim. Okay. Sumchas adds in this concept of a sumo, which we didn't see before. Once she's blind, if she is a blind girl, automatically you can never have the expectation that there will be besulim. My time at the sumchas. So why? What does being blind have anything to do with it? Because she falls down, and we all know that when a girl falls down, that knocks out the besulim. So therefore you can't have explanation. So the Gemara says, one second. So he says, all girls fall down. What do you think? By the time that 12 years old, the girl never fell down in her life? That's not possible. Everybody falls down. So that can't be the explanation. So the Gemara answers, Kulu rois umares lahem le'imon. The difference is that a regular girl, when she falls down, if she starts to bleed, she'll tell her mother. And her mother will say, oh, okay, I guess that's your basulim, don't worry about it. Zu ena royes, veena mara le'imon. So this girl, because she's blind, she doesn't see anything. So she just picks herself up and keeps on going. So she never knows that there is an issue. So it's Anachanami, all girls fall down. The difference is that by a regular girl, when she falls down, she'll know. And therefore, so Rashi has a very interesting explanation, and therefore, since she knows, she'll know that she's not a basula anymore. So she'll tell her mother, who will tell the husband, that she's not, there's no explanation. And if she doesn't tell the husband, then it's mekach tois. Then the husband taka has a taina. By a regular girl, he has a taina because you should know ahead of time because you saw what happened. You should know and you should have told me ahead of time that you're a mukasetz. Whereas by a blind girl, she would never know. So there's no expectation that even if she lost her basulim, she would have told because she wouldn't know. She wouldn't know ahead of time whether or not she's a psula, and therefore the husband would just have to assume that she isn't. Now, if she happens to be great, but there's no expectation. Again, by a regular seeing girl, the husband has the right to say, if you saw something, if you saw something, say something. If you saw that you're not a basula anymore, so tell me you're not a basula. That's fine. The fact that you didn't tell me leads me to believe and gives me every right to believe that you should have been a basula. And if you're not, I have a right to complain. But by asuma, you don't have this right to complain. Gemara continues and says, "V'hayoytzim mishum shemra ein loy knas v'loy pitu." Mishum okay, shemra again, under normal circumstances, means that the husband comes to Bezin and complains that he thinks that something happened before they were married. or after they got engaged, and therefore he has to divorce her. So the Gemara says, the issue over here isn't whether you pay knas, whether the husband has to pay knas. The issue over here is whether she's going to get skila. So you're not paying knas for a girl who's going to be, if the husband's claim is that she was mazana. Okay, one second. Let's get the case correct. So we're not talking about that the husband is the one who complained that she's not a basula, but rather she already has a reputation when she was a young girl that she acted promiscuously, whatever the word is, that she acted in a way that would lose her basulim. So then, ein lo loiknas veloi pitoi. So in that case, okay, in that case, she no longer has knas because everybody knows. Everybody knows she already did whatever she did in the past, and therefore there's no expectation that she should be a basula. So Amarav Papa. So now, again, this is all based on reputation, based on what people are saying. So Amarav Papa Shmamino Haishtaro Reyo Loi Magvinon Bey. He says, if you also have a star that has a bad reputation, that, what do we mean by bad expectation? We'll see in a moment, and the Gemara is going to explain that there's a reason to suspect that it might be a forgery. You're not allowed to use that star to collect, because nobody knows whether it's a real star. Now, okay, that's a Papa statement, but we really have to figure out this case, because it's not so clear. Hey, Chidomi, why is it a forgery? If it's the star, the Zaifahu, if you want to say simply because it's just a rumor, somebody started a rumor that the shtar is a forgery. And over here also, remember, a papa is the one that's comparing the bad shtar to the bad girl. So over here also, that means there's a rumor that she was mezana in the past. That's all we have so far, just a rumor. So Gemara says, "Va'amarava yotzalo shem mezana be'ir." It says, no, a rumor is nothing. Rava says, halachically, that if she, just because she has this rumor about her, that she did bad stuff, that's not enough. In fact, according to Rava, she'd even be allowed to marry a kohen. There's no reason to... Now, what we're talking about over here is, obviously, halachically, just because a girl lives with a guy doesn't mean that she's a zoina. A zoina, by definition, at least the way Rashi learns, is that she was mafka herself to znos. That she just says, I'm out there, and she does whatever and doesn't care what happens. Not talking about where, even if she lived with somebody, that doesn't make her a zoina, even before marriage. A zoina is somebody who's like hefker, who's like, you do whatever you want, I don't care. So then, but the halacha is, just because there's a rumor to that effect, doesn't actually make her into a din zoina. Ella, so again, so we have to be very careful with what the case is. Ella da also betray, so it has to be that two Adam came, va'amr lidit hu tavasinu bi'isura. That the two guys come to Bezin and say, she came to us to offer to be with us. Now, they're not saying that she actually was mezana, because if she actually was mezana, there's nothing to talk about. Obviously, she's not a basula anymore. But they're coming to Bezin and they're saying, she is a bad girl because she's offering her services. She's offering to be out there. So that is what that's the rumor that was, so it's more than a rumor, because it's two people. So then the same thing would be true about the shtar. The also betray that two people came, the Amri lidetu, Amr lohu zaifuli, and they say, they testify that he came to us and asked us to forge signatures. Okay, so then that's why Rapapa says, okay, if we can say that he asked us to forge signatures, so Anachanami, then we have to assume that the shtar is not a valid shtar. The Gemara says, one second, you can't compare. Bishlay Mahasam, if you're talking about the girl who's offering to be mezana, shchichi prutzim. So obviously these guys, remember, they're testifying that she offered to us, not that they did anything, but they offered. So then you can assume that the same way she offered these guys, she probably offered other people also. We have a reason, it makes sense to suspect that she was a prutzim. Elohacha, but by the shtar. Imhu huchzik, kol Yisrael mi huchziku. So just because this guy tried to get these people to forge a star, does that mean everybody out there is a star? It's not so easy to find people who are willing to get to. It's not so easy to find people who are willing to say that they. That they forged the star. So why would you automatically assume that the star is a forgery? So the Gemara answers, Hachanami, Kivan de Mahadar Aziyufa, since he is busy trying to find somebody, Amer Ziyufa Zayef Akasif. So, Enachanami, if you can't find other people, you're right, I can't force other people to get involved with forgery, but that means this guy, if he's that desperate to do a forgery, he'll figure out how to do the forgery himself. Okay? That's the Maskana. And therefore, Rav Papa is correct in the fact that we can no longer just automatically accept that the shtar is a kosher shtar, because we have to suspect that the guy himself made it into a forgery. Now, I just want to point out something very interesting from this Gemara. Comes out, the Ritva says, unbelievable. Since the words of the Gemara is, Emer Ziyufa Zayet Fakosav, that the guy figured out and he forged the shtaros, that means even if the Aiden, let's say he signed Ruvain and he signed Shimon. Okay? He signed the names. If Ruvain and Shimon come into Bezdin and say, these are our signatures, the shtar is still possible. That's what the Ritva says. Even the Aiden themselves say, yes, that's my signature. Why? Because the Lashon over here is that the guy is going to learn how to forge the signature. So Reuven and Shimon are going to look at this and say, yeah, that looks like my signature. And even so, that's going to be considered, it's not going to be considered a real shtar, because it looks like their signature. However, if they come into Bezdin and they say, we signed this shtar, now they're saying edus about the shtar itself, not about their signature, that will believe. That's what the Ritva is medayik based on this Gemara. That, again, so that the, right, so if it's, because the signatures can be, the forgery could be so good, he can look at it and say, yes, this is my signature, that doesn't prove that he actually signed it. Again, once there's a rumor. But, to say that I signed it, of course, once he says he signed it, that's gonna be, we're gonna have to accept that it's a real signature. Okay, next Mishnah, which is a continuation of the first Mishnah. So the first Mishnah listed all the cases that Jechayev and Knas. Ve'elu she'ein lehen Knas. The following cases, there is no, you don't pay the Knas. Habala Giyaris, a girl who went through Geiris Vala Shvuya, a girl who was captured Vala Shifcha, or a girl that was once upon a time a Shifcha, a maid. Sheniftu v'sheniskaya v'shenistachru, and then became freed, and they went through Geiris. But the issue is over here, Yaseiris abanoi sholoshana v'yayim echad, and they did this after the age of three, over the age of three. So then the halach is that they don't get a knas, because we have to assume that something happened, that they are no longer a basula. So the Rabbi Yehuda, Imer Rabbi Yehuda argues, and he says, Shvuya sheniftis harehi b'kedushasa, and he says, no, that if she went through captivity, now she's redeemed, she's still kadosh, and afal pisha kadosh, even though she's a big girl, still we can assume that nothing happened, unless we have edim of some sort, but we can assume that nothing happened, and therefore she could even marry a kohen. That's the second point of the Mishnah. The next point is, Habal Bitoi, here are specific cases, that a father with his daughter, Abbas Bitoi, and his granddaughter from his daughter, Abbas Benoi, a granddaughter from his son, Abbas Ishtoi, the daughter of his wife, Abbas Beno, and her daughter, Abbas Bitoi, and the granddaughter of his wife, Ein Lahem Knas, in all of those cases you don't have to pay Knas, B'Pnei Shem is Chayiv Ben Napshoi, over there in those cases, he's going to get Chayiv Skilo, he's going to get Chayiv Bez, is going to kill him. Shemi sosam bidei Bezdin, since Bezdin is punishing them. The cholam is chayav ben nafshoi, ain't a mishalim mamoin. Anybody, if they're already getting a punishment of miso, they don't pay the knas. Shenemar v'im lo yeh osoin, onesh yeh onesh. If there's no accident, then you pay money. But if there is an accident, and we'll say the accident meaning that she died, then there's a punishment of miso. So since there's a punishment of miso, there's no punishment of knas. This is the classic kam lebe derabba mine case. But again, this Mishnah holds, and the Tana of this Mishnah holds, that's only true by Mises Bezdin. It doesn't apply to Misois Bidei Shemayim. That's the Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Doisa, Amar Davar Echad. Rabbi Yehuda, remember, was the one in our Mishnah that said that even though she was captured, we don't have to worry about her, for and she's still intact for a kohen. they both said, so Rabbi Dais also said Davar Echad. They both said the same concept. Rabbi Yehuda Hada Amaran, Rabbi Yehuda is that which we just said in the Mishnah, that we don't have to, that she's still a Basula. Rabbi Dais, what did Rabbi Dais say? The Tanya we learned in the Braisa, Shvuya Eicheles Betruma. Even though she was in captivity, when she comes back home to her father, she can continue to eat truma. And again, we don't consider her with any isser. Divir Reb Doisa, that's what Reb Doisa says. So again, he also assumes that nothing happened to her in captivity. Amar Reb Doisa, as Reb Doisa himself explains, V'chima also lo arve halaz, just because this Arab took her. What did he do to her? Because he sort of molested her, he played with her. Does that passel her? In other words, just because he touched her doesn't mean that he was mezana with her. And therefore, the znus is what makes the difference. So therefore, according to Rabbi Zaitse, he says, because they want to protect their merchandise. They're not gonna hurt them. They might tease them and they might, you know, bother them, but they're not going to actually be mezana with them. So both Rabbi Dais and Rabbi Yehuda hold this concept. Amar Rav, Dilma Lohi, but maybe you're assuming that Rabbi Dais and Rabbi Yehuda both follow, since they say the same idea, that they hold of each other's opinion. But maybe that's not true. Dilma Lohi, maybe that's not true. Adkan Lohikam Rabbi Yehuda Hacha, maybe in this case over here, where we're talking about whether you have to pay Knas, Elishaloye Choytan Isker. Maybe we're saying over here, really, we do have to suspect that maybe something happened. But even so, we're going to make the guy afterwards who lived with her pay the Knas because he also did something inappropriate, and we should make him pay the Knas even if she's not a Basula. Even if maybe she's not a Basula. But maybe when it comes to Truma, they hold like the Rabbanon, that since it's an Isser Truma, once she's no longer a Basula, maybe in Echanami they hold like the Rabbanon. They argue with Rav Doisa and say you can't eat Truma anymore. Inami, or the other way is, Loikama Rav Doisa Hosam, Elabit Truma the Rabbanon. Maybe we're talking about Truma, as Rashi says, Truma Bisman Hazeh, so therefore there's no reason to make a Gzeira on it, because worst case scenario, it's only the Rabbanon anyway. So maybe that's where Rav Doisa said his halacha, that she's considered a basula. Aval knas deraisa, but maybe to make him pay knas deraisa, the rabbanon tzvirulei. Maybe they argue on the Rabbi Yehuda and hold like rabbanon that say she is not really technically a basula anymore, and you therefore do not have to pay knas. Okay, so we don't. Even though they say the same concept, it doesn't mean that they necessarily hold. Each one holds of the other shita. Amalei Abaya, the time of the Rabbi Yehuda, hacha shaloye choten iskar hu. So your whole explanation is because. Make the guy pay anyway, because really maybe she's not a basula, but make a guy pay anyway because he was a bad boy. Is that really the explanation? But Tanya, we learned Rabbi Yehuda Oimer. Rabbi Yehuda says he explains himself. Shvuya shenishbis harei he bekedushasa. She remains bekedusha. That nothing happened. Afilu bas esur shonim tsubasa masayim. And even if she's already 10 years old, she is. She's still a basula, and mamash, if she gets married, she's still gonna get a full ksuba. So we see that she literally is considered a basula. It's not because we don't want to punish the other guy, it's because we consider her a basula. What does that have to do with the ksuba? Ksuba has nothing to do with the, it's not a punishment. So the Gemara says yes. The reason over there we're makel and we give her a full ksuba is because if we tell people that her ksuba is less, what's going to end up happening is they will draw their own conclusion. They will draw their own conclusion and suspect that she's not a basula anymore. So because of that suspicion, we have to up her ante. We have to up the ksuba and say that it's 200, even if we don't really consider her a basula. So maybe, in other words, yeah, you can't bring me a proof that she's literally a basula by the fact that we say a ksuba is 200. Because a ksuba is 200 is to protect a different thing. Is to protect her status for marriage. But Anachanami, she's really not a basula, maybe for the sake of knas. And the reason why we give him the knas is because we don't want chayt nisker. Okay, next line. The sover Rabbi Yehuda b'kedushasa kaimo. So one second, is that really even true that she's literally b'kedusha? She can marry a kohen. V'atanya, we learned like this. Hapoides hashvuya yisiena. If a person redeems a shvuya, he himself bought her out of captivity. He's allowed to marry her. And this is talking about a kohen. Meid ba lo yisena. But if he testifies about her that nothing happened, that's not enough. We don't believe him to be allowed to marry her. Rabbi Huda Omer, but Rabbi Huda says, Ben kachu, ben kach lo yisaenu. Oh, Rabbi Huda himself takes the opposite extreme. And he says, we never believe the guy to allow a kohen to marry this girl. Okay? So, this is difficulty, because now we're saying, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that she's not a basula. So, how go for kasha? Amra ha-poide sa-shvu yisena. First, let's explain what we're talking about over here. On the one hand, you said that if he redeems her, he's allowed to marry. V'hodu tano, meid v'alo yisena. And then you said, well, now that he testifies about her, that she's still a basula, now he can't marry her anymore. So the Gemara says, mishum de meid v'alo yisena. So now that he also testifies, that lowers his ability to marry her, reduces his ability to marry her, doesn't make sense. Holoi kasha. Hachi ka'omar. So the Gemara is saying, so the Gemara says, what, okay, you're reading it wrong. What it means to me is as follows. Hapoides hashvoi umeid ba yisena. Enachanami. When he, if he redeems her and he testifies about her, that's when he can marry her, because he did everything, and obviously he wouldn't spend his money unless he really thought that she was a basula. Made ba kedi lo yisena. But if somebody else did redeemed her, and he just testifies her about her, so then enachanami he can't remarry, because he didn't, so to speak, put his money where his mouth is. So enachanami, that's why he cannot necessarily marry her as a kohen. Okay, fine. So we have an explanation to the brayse itself, but mikomakom kasha the Rabbi Yehuda. But Rabbi Yehuda is difficult, because here Rabbi Yehuda is the one who says we can never believe her, and in our Mishnah Rabbi Yehuda is the one who says that she's mamish bekedusha. So make up your mind: is she considered a basula or not? So Amar Rav Papa, Eima Rabbi Yehuda Oimer Benkach uBenkach Yisena. Anachnami, you have to change the gears of what man. And it's perfectly consistent. And Rabbi Yehuda is saying even just testifying about her is enough to marry her, because Rabbi Yehuda says nothing happened, so it's not a problem. That's one teretz of the Gemara. That's Rav Papa. Rav Huna Bereid Rabbi Yeshua Oimer Loilam Tegedik Tani. Really, like we said, that Rabbi Yehuda says you cannot marry her, but you don't have to change the girsa, but we have to change the explanation. What we say is like this: Rabbi Yehuda ledivreim to the rabbanon kaomer lehu. Rabbi Yehuda is only saying in the shita of the rabbanon. He says, I don't understand you. Lididi, according to me, benkach benkach yisena. According to Rabbi Yehuda, I'm not discussing my shita. My shita is you can always marry her, because I hold that nothing ever happened. El lidid chu, but according to you, benkach benkach lo yisena, mi boyalei. What you should have said is that it shouldn't make a difference whether he redeemed her or testified about her. You should always say that you're not allowed to marry her, because you hold that something happened. If you hold something happened, then why would you ever let her marry a kohen? That is what Rabbi Yehuda was trying to say. The Rabbanon, but the Rabbanon's response to that is, no, that's not true. There is a difference. If he redeems her and he testifies about her, so he really believes that she is a basula, then he could marry her. Why? Because he won't throw money away unless he really believed that that's the case. Mayed ba, but if he didn't spend any money, but he just gets up there and he testifies, mayed ba kedi, just testifying lo yisena, shema einov nosan ba. Maybe at this point he's not willing to spend any money, but he's willing to testify just so that he can marry her. He'll get up there and say she is a basula. Oh, now that I said she's a basula, I'm allowed to marry her. So that's not as believable. But anachanami, if he's willing to redeem her and spend the money to redeem her and testify that she's a basula, that combination, according to the Rabbanon, is enough for us to believe that she is in fact a basula, and she can even marry a kohen. Okay, we'll stop over here at this point.